The next piece, and if there is somebody from the county commissioners here who wants to respond to it, that's great.
I think we have Commissioner Paul Underwood is sitting up back there. Representative Underwood, you have anything to add, SEPRAC, MULPI, to this process?
Not at this time. I'm not sure what her she's referring to. Is it NCCA?
Well, see, the Maine County Commissioners Association asked for information on anticipated costs associated with the county opt-out and the impact on property taxes in the UT, which I think we had sort of summary of that. It was given to us by Mr. Doran.
No, well, that's
and then you got the municipal cost component we're talking.
No, yeah. What he provided was this is the revenue that you could anticipate the counties would get. If they opted out, they would get these amounts,
right.
You know, for these three counties at least that he provided. The other piece, the people were asking questions of how much would it cost you if you opted out? And that's what I had sent a request via the County Commissioners Association to see if they had anything quantified. I went through all the testimony. I mean, there were a lot of people testifying with comments on what it would cost. The only, and I had a spreadsheet that was provided to this committee back in the spring from Piscataway's kind of just projected cost estimates where they itemized what would be needed. But I don't know whether anybody here has
I think
any more specific information.
County Commissioner Underwood's got
specific to that question. I'm not sure who has done what as far as generating costs. Roosick County's done an approximate calculation of what it would cost, what the revenues derived from the current stream of fees and taxes and fines and fees. We figured there was probably in Aroostook County about $100,000. We calculated roughly $250,000 for a department, probably another $100,000 for startup, initial startup. That's if we took on the full-blown responsibilities of a planning department, zoning boards of appeals, and whatnot. And I think perhaps I might speak to some of the conversations that have been going around and why there's no response to this is that commissioners around the state with UT counties are looking at the proposed changes generated by the Reform Committee. And I think most of these changes are endorsed by the commissioners. And there's really no impetus to go it alone. We recognize the cost and the issues because as a former city councilor, I was on board when we redid our comprehensive plan. Commissioner Fournier from Wallagrass is the chairman of his local planning board. He understands the commitment and the time necessary. But looking at it, realistically, there's a camaraderie, a brotherhood amongst the county commissioners that we really like to do things together. We have common problems, common solutions to our problems. We meet regularly to address these issues, especially where it comes to the UTs. Everything from picking up trash to issues with LERC. And we're looking at this now as there is local representation on the board with nominees. Now, there seems to be a hang-up on appointment, how it's going to go through, who gets approval. I don't see that as a problem, and most of the commissioners don't. That was a recommendation of the committee, and we don't have a problem with it. Other recommendations of the committee, the separation of permitting through forestry, DEP. We see that as a clarification of what LERC is supposed to do. LERC needs to become a true planning board. Right now, it's into everything, and it's getting nothing done. The biggest failure that I see for LERC in its 40 years is in Aroostook County. Aroostook County has the only solid waste water treatment facility in the entire UT. And it's located in Sinclair, a small village at the end of Long Lake. It came about as a result of the first Lork bill. There was a case of diphtheria, and that's one of the driving issues that kept that going. Now, there's a cluster of lakes right around there, and the camp lots look just like your chairs around this table. The lots were developed in the probably 1920s when the roads were opened up and opened up the lakes in that region. And their camp lots are small, and what we've had to do is develop leach fields for the camps, because the camps are becoming more than just occasional summer usage. Some of them are coming three-season uses. So that's taking more land to develop these. We're taking more land from what would have probably wooded lots, building them into grass areas, which increases the degradation. People are fertilizing it. The problems with developments around lakes. That should have been connected. That system should have been connected to at least three lakes and probably as many as 400 camps. And right now it still serves. We just extended it. The first extension to that district this summer in 40 years. That should have been started 40 years ago and continued on through. There's no planning for that. That's the job of a planning board, is to make sure these, looking down the future and see what's going on. The LURC has become a reactive agency. So many rules and regulations. There's 300 pages to the comprehensive plan and I think 400 pages of rules. Now, one of the questions was asked about permitting. The only thing that County of Aroostook, I think, would do as far as permitting is permit by rule. If there's a permit by rule, why can't the counties issue it? It's cut and dried. If you want to put a shed on your lot, you've got your setback requirements, follow those requirements. There's no need for somebody to drive to Ashland from Cross Lake. It's probably about an hour and a half drive. And that is where I see the counties under this new proposal doing. If there is to be some permitting by the county, only permit by rule. Those rules would be set by the board, the full board. And again, the talk around now is that this probably will work, and counties don't really have the impetus to move.
Okay, so I'm giving kind of a leeway here, I think. Two things. Financially, you really, in a sense, thought this was going okay. You really didn't want to deal with the finances, right? I mean, then you gave us three numbers here, though. You gave us the $100,000, $250,000, another $100,000. So what would you be doing? Who'd you be hiring? What would you be doing if you
Our public works director for the UT is currently a selectman for the town of Frenchville, and he has a lot of experience in this area. We probably have an additional staff member, maybe some subcontracting for inspections. I'm not sure. We haven't really gone down that road too far. As far as taxation, everybody's concerned about taxes. Okay, when you look at county taxes in the UT, we have the LD1, which limits the tax growth. The fiscal administrator for the UT, we heard from today, she also has input into the taxes. Legislative approval, you approve all the county budgets on the UT side. We have the residents who are concerned about taxes. We have landowners, and I say landowners mean large landowners. In Aroostook County, we have a finance committee that has final approval. And last of all, you have the commissioners, which really limit it as well, any tax growth. But those are all factors that will work towards minimizing the opt-out provision. If it works as a true planning board, there's no reason for us to split it up.
Okay, so we are talking about the financial side, I guess.
What finances would come to Aroostook? Is that what you're saying through this?
That's okay. Representative Trumeza.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just to help me understand a basic question here, I only need a one-sentence answer. When you build Caribou for county government, does that go in with the other, as a revenue stream also what you receive from unorganized gets put in, and that's part of the total budget? Is that where it goes?
No. The organized towns, with the exception of plantations, get a municipal cost component to the county tax. That goes to funding county government, your jails, your registry of deeds, probate, the regular things that county does, okay, sheriff's patrols.
That's going to.
The UT pays for its own municipal services that is provided. That's separate. There's two separate budgets, the UT side and the county side. And the UT does pay to the county a number which I think is 5% of its budget to the county tax.
Okay.
It's the largest municipal cost component in Aroostook County.
Okay, thank you. Brian Dewey, County Commissioner, Representative Kay.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you for being here, and also thank you for your information throughout the reform process. It was nice listening. Oh, absolutely. You've been with us sort of since day one, and I appreciate that. You brought up the LD1 component, and I just sort of perked my interest. When you talk about the LD1 figure, are there some things that are exempted from the LD1, or does the entire budget need to be LD1 compliant?
To my immediate recollection, everything is subject to LD1 on both county budgets.
Okay.
The UT as well as the regular county budget.
This is a recording of the Maine Legislature's Agriculture, Conservation, and Forestry Committee meeting on February 28, 2012 to work on LD 1798, an act to reform land use planning in the unorganized territory.
Talked about if the three largest counties were to leave LURC and sort of, you know, how that...
I've heard the numbers.
Yeah, you know, it was just interesting because it wouldn't seem that for the counties that remain they'd be able to be LD1 compliant with that type of an increase.
There are three revenue streams for LURC. You have the county component, property, which is property tax. Okay. Then you have a fee from, or a general fund appropriation, and then you have fines and fees.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The way I personally, and I'm not speaking for anybody other than myself, if this is a state board, it should all come out of fines, fees, and general appropriation. The property tax, where the property taxpayer has no input on this board, okay, shouldn't be paying for it, okay? And if a county chooses to leave, it should leave its general appropriation behind, and it should be a decision of the counties that they are going to pay for this on their own. That's my personal feeling, and that's... I can't speak for other commissioners.
Representative McCage.
I would agree on that one piece of it, that if they leave, they don't take the money with them. But, you know, we're looking at some figures here that looks like more than half of the budget, if the top three left, LURC would actually lose that UT piece.
Well, just you do have to be clear, though. That's all going into the general fund. I mean.
But the general fund.
Yeah, and that part's sort of getting smaller and smaller
right.
all the time.
It's not,
so, yeah,
it's not that it's
absolutely.
None of this is dedicated revenue to LURC.
Sure.
You can say that offsets what they get for general funding.
Sure. I just had deja vu. I thought we were talking about the dairy tier program for a moment there, Rochelle, but I know that we're not. I'm just.
Yeah. Those are forbidden words in here, dairy tier. Okay, are we at the end of the line here, more ways than one?
I think you're through the questions, that information requests on the gray sheet. It's up to you how you want to proceed, whether you want to go back to your green sheet or whether you want to look at the amendment that you reviewed, Representative Foster's amendment from last week, or if you want to go to the timber harvesting piece, which relates to LD 1739.
Probably the timber, if we have someone here, timber harvesting probably be best, because I don't think we're trying to gauge how long it would take us, and I think we've only been 2 hours, which seems a lot longer, but Representative Bill.
Yeah, I have a question. I've heard all these figures floating around here and opt-outs and the money that would go to the general fund. I guess my question is, and I don't know, Jill, who can answer this, but if a county were to opt out, what kind of money is available to them through these systems that they would then therefore pay for them doing what LURC had been doing?
Well, I think those are the figures that Mr. Dorn gave you, at least for the three counties that I asked him to. Those counties would get that money the way that, according to Section 26.
Okay, so instead of going to the general fund,
right,
that would remain. So
that
then
to the counties.
Then my question is, then I guess maybe for Samantha, if I may, Mr. Chair, would be, what does it cost LURC to do a project, a small project under 20 acres, depending on what it is, and I'm sure it must vary, from start to finish? What is the cost of LURC to go from planning whatever they have to do to finally give a permit for whatever it happens
There's
to be?
There's the hot seat again, Samantha.
It's very warm right now. I think I can give you an answer that may get us partway there, and then depending on what you need, I may be able to get you more for another session. But so the budget is about $1.8 million. Almost all of that is personnel. We've got about $136,000 in all other. That runs six offices and all of our legal services and photocopiers and everything like that. We process in the very general range of about 1,000 permits a year, plus rulemaking and, you know, zoning, general planning, comprehensive plan, that sort of thing. And our planning services, we have five planners, one of whom is part-time, and a division manager, and that serves all 13 counties that are in the UT. So there's a lot of kind of shared services that spread across a number of permitting and planning activities. I'm not sure that I could give you a sense of, you know, how long it might take to process different kinds of permits and then ranges of salaries, but I'm not sure that that would necessarily capture the equation that you're looking for.
Follow up, Representative Dale.
Just looking at your different permits, if I just look down, let's pick one in the middle, development permit. I want to put a commercial sporting camp up, just a couple camps. What would it cost, you know, the process, what would it cost LURC to get that through the process?
Of all the pick of the commercial sporting camp,
my
name is Rod Fowler. I'm the acting division manager for permitting and compliance. Of all projects to pick and choose as far as in the development permit, the commercial sporting camp is probably one of the most difficult to take and just assess because there's many components to that. You've got not only the lodging, you've got the different constructions of the camps.
Okay.
It can be a retail store.
$200.
If there's no zoning involved, so in other words, if this is already zoned for a commercial operation and it's just the store and it's fairly straightforward, it's a permit that could probably be issued in about 3 weeks with the turnaround, so it would tie up staff time. I'm not sure how to put a value on that, though.
How much staff time?
Good question. I don't know how I would take in a given period of time. There might be, because staff time, when they dedicate towards those kind of projects, there's an interaction with the agencies as far as the review comments. There's the actual drafting of the permit, and there's the interaction between the applicant and possible field time. You're probably going to deal with at least, two or three days, of work in a given time, full days, and then portions of days after that.
Would you like us to follow up with some more specifics?
I guess what I'm looking at is I took one of these. It doesn't matter what county. The top one on the list is Aroostook County. Just the way I'm hearing it, they opted out. They'd have $114,000 to do whatever LURC does. And I'm just questioning, is that two projects? Is that 25 projects before that money's eaten up? Or is it one project before that money's eaten up? And I realize it depends on... like you said, I picked sporting camps. That was the most difficult one. And I realized it's going to be a range. I could have picked bridge construction or anything. So I realize it's going to vary over lots of things. But what I'm just trying to get at is, you know, three or four different things. Maybe you could take sporting camps. You could take something simple. You could. I'm just trying to get an idea of what the cost would be.
I think one way to think about that would be, for instance, for Aroostook County, I mean, Billy and Don just serve Aroostook, right?
Correct.
So we have two full-time staff people. We have a planner who spends a portion of their time, plus then we have legal services, and we have planning time in terms of setting up the rules. And the, so, you know, if you kind of add all that up, I think that starts to get you close to some of the figures. If there's something specific we can provide to you for next time, I'd be happy to.
I know the figures that Piscataquis County had when they did the sheet, they actually came in, the three commissioners came into our office in Greenville to try to separate out Somerset County from Piscataquis. And they looked at the office, they looked at the number of permits we issued, they took a look and they went through everything as far as to recreate our office for Piscataquis County. I'm not sure exactly what they have on their sheet, but they were the one set of county commissioners that did come through and try to recreate our office for Piscataquis County.
Yep, thank you. Yes.
Just a brief question. Thank you, Senator. Sorry to make you walk away, and then I was going to ask Samantha a question.
Samantha.
So in regards to the legal component, is there typically, do you work with the same person in the Attorney General's office? Is it multiple people? I'm just not familiar with how that relationship works.
We have a primary contact. So there's an assistant attorney general who's the primary attorney that we work with. We don't have all of her time, but we have a significant portion of her time. In addition, on specific matters, she may consult other AAGs in their areas of specialty. And the section chief has done the legal work around Plum Creek, so there's been a significant number of hours put in by the section chief, especially regarding the litigation, but also during the development of the permit. So primary point of contact, but then we rely on some of the other resources as well. Does that answer your question?
No, I'm just curious. You know, I think of my time on the planning board, and, you know, every once in a while there would be the need for sort of an opinion. And I know with the selectmen in Skowhegan, they frequently do it, but the type of projects that I see Lurk working on, I imagine each of the projects several times during the development phase of the actual project or just the permitting phase, it would seem like there would have to be sort of legal review and correspondence. So,
yeah, the larger projects, we have a lot of legal review of because of the extensive nature of the decision documents that we've been writing, and we want to make sure that it does hold up well in court, and also she advises us on the issues surrounding making sure we're following the appropriate public process, again, to make sure that everything holds up in court and that we're following the law. The more routine cases, you know, typically don't involve legal review until there's an issue where if there's a violation that is not easily resolved and starts to become more serious or difficult to resolve, we'll check in with her to make sure we're following the appropriate processes. She also advises us on, the Attorney General's office has to sign off on our rulemaking to make sure it's compliant with the statute. So those are the sorts of things that.
Sure.
And she attends each of the commission meetings.
Okay, so they are at the commission meetings. Yeah. And the other piece to that is.
Follow-up?
Sorry, Mr. Chair, just a brief follow-up or a clarification
point. Clarification.
So in regards to the Plum Creek project, the appeal that's being heard right now isn't on the actual project, but rather the process, is that?
That's right.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Samantha.
Thank